Well, Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to come into your presence this day. To know, Father, that you desire to meet with your children, Lord, that your heart's desire is that our relationship with you would grow and deepen, Lord, that we would be conformed in an ever-increasing fashion, Lord, into the very image of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word is part of that journey. Today, as we open the scriptures together, I pray that you would guide us, Father, that our hearts would be soft, Lord, that our minds would be attentive, and that you, by your Spirit, Father, would teach us. Might your Holy Spirit be our guide, that he quicken our understanding. How we thank you for your word, Lord, and we thank you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We live in a world that is at war. We see it all around us. The nations are at war with one another. There are states within nations that are at war with one another. We have political parties that are at war with one another. Families that are at war, unfortunately, at war with one another. But there is a battle that's ongoing that is not as clearly seen. It is the battle within each one of us. It is the battle between spirit and flesh. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, in chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And as we go through the scriptures, we see this principle illustrated again and again. We will see that in our story today and in the account that we cover and beyond in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, for perhaps there is no greater example of that battle than the lives of Saul and David. Saul was a man after the flesh. He was a man given to fleshly appetites and desires, and as a result, it led him to turn away from obedience to the God of heaven, which led to his replacement by David, the second king of Israel, the one who is described in the word as a man after God's heart. And so as we look at that, we realize we have to answer the question of these two forces that play out in our lives, which will we serve? Here in this book, 1 Samuel, we're introduced to Samuel as judge and prophet. And he will be God's voice to the men and women of Israel. And here in chapter 1, we begin this journey. But as we look back to the previous chapter, chapter 2, God is looking for faithful individuals to serve him. In chapter 2, verse 35, we read, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind." In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 23, when Jesus was talking to the woman there at the well, we read, "But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him." And so in chapter 3, rather than chapter 1, as I just said earlier, in chapter 3, we see God unfolding his will in the life of Israel as he is preparing to depose the high priest at that time, Eli, and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, because of their unfaithfulness, and bring Samuel on to lead his people. In verse 1, we read, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." So God has a young man on the scene there at Shiloh at the tabernacle, Samuel. And it's interesting how the writer describes Samuel. He was a individual that ministered to the Lord rather than for the Lord. Where you see, that's an important distinction. Because our first ministry is to the God of heaven. We are his emissaries, to be sure, but as we minister to him, even as Jesus said there in John chapter 4, how God is searching for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth, as we are in the process of ministering to him, serving him, loving him, honoring him, worshiping him, the natural fruit of that will be that we will be ministering to others along the way as well. And Samuel was faithful, even as a lad. He lived in a household that was unfaithful, Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, and yet he seems to be unaffected by the sin, their sin, as he kept his focus on the Lord. It tells us there, too, in verse 1, that the word of the Lord was precious or scarce in those days, and there was no open vision or infrequent visions, and that was because of the unfaithfulness of his people and of his servants. You see, God wants to speak to his people. He's speaking even today as we are here. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. He wants us to know and understand his heart, to know and understand his vision and purpose for our lives. But we want to make sure that we are not interrupting that conversation by our unfaithfulness, by our disobedience. You see, God constructed us to hunger for intimacy. It isn't the intimacy that the world thinks of, which is largely anchored in sensual things, sexual relationship, material acquisition, and the like, because those things will never satisfy, as we see in Solomon's life, as he describes for us in the book of Ecclesiastes, that all of that is vanity. Nor our hunger for intimacy is an intimacy with the God of heaven, with the one that we call our Heavenly Father, if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we keep ourselves in that place of hungering after him, of seeking a deeper relationship with him, because as we grow in our relationship with him, we grow and mature in our faith journey, but also in our impact on the world about us. On the other hand, we see one of those who is unfaithful, verse 2, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." So Eli, it tells us, was losing his sight. Not only was he losing his sight physically, he was going blind, but he was losing his sight spiritually, for he was failing to carry out his duties as God's high priest. It says there, "before the lamp went out," which carries with it the idea of before dawn. before dawn, God comes. Sometimes God will show up in our lives at very unexpected times. We'll wake up in the middle of the night thinking that it's something that we ate that's caused us not to be able to sleep, when in fact, it is the Lord who wants us to take time to be with Him, to talk with Him, to hear from Him. It is in those night seasons so often that God reveals Himself to us. And here we see the reality that that light was growing dim. The light in the tabernacle was growing dim. The priests, you see, were to keep the light in the tabernacle burning. But Israel was in decline and the lamp was growing dim. And that was a direct result of walking apart from God. You see, Eli was a man who had the pedigree. He was a Levite, but he didn't have the passion. He had the pedigree, but not the passion. To follow the God of heaven with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And as a result of that, he began drifting away. It wasn't something that happened overnight. It was something that took place over time. And it resulted in the departure from the faith of his sons as well, who were even more unfaithful than he was. And as we look at that, we need to see it as a warning to us that we need to be careful not to become like Eli as we grow older in Christ. We have the pedigree, perhaps, because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We've been born again, but perhaps we've begun to drift away. The challenge to the first church there in the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesus, was a challenge because they had left their first love. We do not want that to happen in our lives, guys. We want to remember that passion, that exuberance, that wonderful blessing of being born again, of being forgiven of our sins, of being set on a path to heaven, of being set free from our past, with a wonderful future ahead of us. And the Lord is going to speak to Samuel about his plans, his thoughts concerning how things were unfolding. So we see God beginning to work to implement his will. We see the will of God there. Samuel, I love it what it says in verse 1. It doesn't say he ministered for the Lord, but rather it says he ministered to the Lord. And that's an important distinction. It isn't just about service, but it's about focus. It's about realizing that our ministry really is to the Lord. And then from that ministry to the Lord, others are changed and touched. And that's what the Lord wants for you and for me. See, we know that Hophni and Phinehas were in sin, that Eli was overlooking it, which put him in sin as well. And yet we have this young man growing up faithful, unaffected, if you will, by the sin of those around him. We heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel as they're removed from their homes, as they're removed from their culture, as they're immersed in a pagan culture as children, and yet they stood strong because it tells us in Daniel, they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. That's a work of God, strictly. And I love to see that. I love to see that in our kids. But it tells us of the importance of private time with God. Whether we're young or old, we need to have time with Him. Sometimes we'll wake up in the middle of the night, and we think it's the pizza we ate the night before. But perhaps it's the Lord waking us up so that we might spend time with Him, might spend time standing in the gap on behalf of others, might spend time in His Word, might spend time just waiting upon Him. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, Father. Because here we see the word was scarce or rare, and it was because of the unfaithfulness of not only the people of God, but the servants of God. And we see that happening. We heard it shared this morning in this place. We are part of the body of Christ. And so we pray for one another. We pray for those around us. It's not up to us to judge them. We simply pray for them, that the spirit of conviction would come upon them, that they would return to the truth, that they would return to the Lord, that they would experience the fullness that they once had. Most of us in this room today who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ realize that we've had those times when we weren't walking with him like we should have been. But in his faithfulness, he convicted us and he showed us his goodness. The goodness of God leads us to repentance, right? And so he draws us back. God is speaking here in the scripture. The question is anyone listening? God is speaking this morning in this place and in every place where people gather in the name of Jesus. The question is, are we listening to what he wants to say? And the bottom line is, each one of us hunger for intimacy, for relationship. The world says it's all about dating and all of those kinds of things, sex and all of those things. That's what intimacy is all about, which is a lie. Intimacy begins between us and God. Everything else, every other relationship flows from that. We can't experience intimacy with our husband or with our wife or with our children until we have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's how we're designed. In those next verses, we see that Eli was losing his sight, not only physically, but spiritually. It's an incremental process. That's why it's important for us to realize that we need to be in God's house on a regular basis. We need to be in God's word on a regular basis. We need to be in fellowship with his people on a regular basis, because that's what sharpens us. That's what grows us. That's what keeps us on track. You see, here we see that the movement was going on, that God was moving. The priests were to keep the lights burning in the tabernacle, and the light was dimming, which was a picture of what was going on spiritually in the nation. But it's in the midst of that dimness that the Lord shows up. You see, Israel was in decline and the lamp was growing dim as a result of walking apart from God. You know, Eli, he was the high priest. He was a Levite. He had the pedigree. He had the license, if you will. He had the pedigree, but he didn't have the passion. You know, I always marvel, and I've shared this before, you know, you watch these football games in the middle of winter, like up in the Northeast, and the snow is flying, and they pan the congregation, or the congregation, well, almost. they pan the stands, and you've got some guy up there with horns on his head, no shirt on, painted all these multicolors, and he is passionate about his team. You know, and that's the way we should be about Jesus. We should be passionate about him. He saved us to the uttermost. He put us on a path to heaven. He forgave our sins. He set us free from that which bound us. How awesome is that? We just need to be careful not to become like Eli as we grow older in Christ. We need to realize that he's talking to us about priorities. And in today, that's so, so important. You know, we see in verse 4, God's word, the word of God. And the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. First thing, as I was reading that, that's a miracle in and of itself. Josephus tells us that Samuel was probably about 12 years of age. Just the very fact that a teenager would wake up and get up and go see if he could help in the middle of the night is totally a miracle. But you see, Samuel was sensitive to what was going on. So he got up, and Samuel, we're told in verse 7, did not yet know the Lord, which I find really interesting. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So God's call to Samuel at 12 years of age, begins this relationship with the God of heaven. When God called to Samuel in the night, his response was, "Here I am. Here I am." I love that. Now, Samuel didn't recognize his voice because he had not heard God's voice before. He didn't know that it was God. Matter of fact, he thought it was Eli. So he goes to Eli, and Eli says, "It wasn't me. Go back and lay down." You know, be patient as you wait to hear God speak. And he does speak. He will speak to you. He will speak to me. It can be audibly. It can be in your spirit. It can be when you're in the Bible, in the Word of God. He speaks. He wants to speak. We just need to be willing to slow down enough to hear what he has to say. Samuel didn't yet know the Lord personally, even though he was immersed in things spiritual. You know, some of you were raised in the church, were born in a pew, if you will. And you know the songs, and you know the scripture, and you know the things that God has said. The question that has to be answered is, do you know the one who said it? You know, we're not Christians because our parents were Christians, or we're not Christians because we were born in a Christian nation. We are Christians. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We are born again because we embrace the finished work of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And by faith, we ask him to forgive us of our sin and to come into our lives. And he imparted his spirit to us. We were born again. We were placed into this thing we call the body of Christ, and it began the journey. Samuel's beginning that journey right now. God spoke to him in the tabernacle. That's another important thing. That's why it's important for us to come to the tabernacle, if you will, the temple, the sanctuary. It's not that God can't speak to us out there, but he's given this place to us as a gift. It's a gift, and we need to take advantage of it. You know, the bottom line is, as believers in Jesus Christ, as part of the body of Christ, when I'm not here, there's a piece missing. And so what God had for me to do that day doesn't get done by me. I lose the blessing. And the one that he would have me to minister to doesn't get that blessing either. You see, it's so important for us to realize that he's called us to this place for a very special purpose. And in verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again, the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. That must have been a mind blower for Eli, because he was drifting away from the Lord, had not been hearing from the Lord. And therefore, all of a sudden, now the Lord speaks to a young lad. That must have been a challenge to Eli's spirit. And yet, he perceived that he was speaking to Samuel, and the Lord called Samuel. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, verse 9, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy spirit hears.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Eli understood. It finally broke through. It finally dawned on him, spiritually speaking, and he gave wise counsel to Samuel. He said, "Samuel, go back and be still and wait for the Lord to speak again." That's what we need to do. We need to wait for the Lord to speak. You know, God will sometimes use others to point us to himself. How many times have you had someone say something to you, and the Lord will quicken it to your heart, and you'll realize that that was a word for you? They may be talking about a totally different situation. That's what he does, and he does it so well. I don't have to worry about missing God's plan. If I'm walking day by day with him, I know that he's not going to let me miss it, because he's faithful, and he's going to speak to me directly, or he's going to send someone to speak to me, or both of those things is confirmation. All of those things are so, so important in our walk with him. God simply wants to see if we, like Samuel, are listening. That idea of listening is to kind of to hear with interest. Am I interested in what God has to say? You remember in the story of Moses. Moses was on the backside of the wilderness of Midian, had been there for 40 years, listening to his sheep, when he used to, well, he was heir apparent of Egypt those few decades earlier. And I'm sure he didn't expect to ever hear from God again. And yet, God shows up in a burning bush. Moses sees it and he says, you know, I need to go check this out. And when the Lord saw that Moses turned to check it out, it's then that he spoke to him. God sometimes is waiting for you, waiting for me, waiting for us to stop long enough to check out that which he's revealed to us, and then he will speak. I sometimes have to ask myself the question, am I listening, Lord? Am I really listening? Last night, in the middle of the night, I was just telling the Lord, I need to hear from you. You know, I want to hear from you as my Heavenly Father. I need that. We all need that, you see. In verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. Samuel had a receptive and willing heart. But do you notice the word that's missing in his response from the instruction that Eli gave him? He didn't call him Lord because he didn't yet have that relationship. He called himself a servant, which he was. I love that. Behold, behold, pay attention, the scripture says. In that day, the Lord goes on, verse 12, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken against his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Now, Eli had already gotten that message that judgment was coming. You remember back in chapter 2. A man of God, a prophet, came to him and said, judgment is on the horizon, Eli. Now, Eli had an opportunity at that point to repent, to turn, to draw back to the Lord. He didn't do that. And so now the Lord is speaking to Samuel and says, hey, this judgment on Eli and his sons, it is fixed, it is determined, it is certain, and it will not be atoned for. That's pretty amazing when you stop and look at that. But one of the things that caught my attention is the judgment that came was because Eli failed to fulfill his responsibility as a father. It's a challenge to us, guys, dads, moms. God has given us these little lives. And when he handed them to us, they're a blank slate. We have to decide what we're going to write on those lives. We need to be faithful, faithful to minister to them, to pour into them God's truth. Hannah only had 3 years with her son, but she did all that she could do to prepare him to be handed off to Eli. We need to be faithful. We need to stand up. And we need to stand in the gap on behalf of our children. We need to pray for them daily. We need to pray over them daily. We need to let them hear us praying for them daily so that they know that we care about them and that God is real and that he will change their lives and guide and direct their steps and do what he wants to do in their lives. Eli failed to react to the sin of his sons. It's time for us to choose. Choose what we're going to do with our kids, young or old. It's never too late to start. God is the great restorer of the years that the locusts have eaten. That's what the scripture says. And he will do it. We just have to trust him and be faithful. Because it tells us here, God will not strive with man forever. The scripture tells us that. In verse 15. And Samuel lay unto the morning. And opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I can imagine. this 12-year-old boy who was raised by Eli, really a second dad to him, if you will. And now he has this amazing judgment that's coming. What do you do with the message? You're toast. How do you deliver that? But God's going to make a way for that as well. I love what Samuel did. Even though God had spoken directly to him, he didn't go out and proclaim it from the rooftops or go around telling everybody, well, God talked to me. What did he do? He got up and he simply carried on his work of ministry that God had given him to do. He opened the sanctuary doors. He went about his service. You see, there must have been turmoil brewing in his heart because he loved Eli. But he's going to respond to Eli with the same heart that he responded to the Lord. And Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here am I. Here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good unto him. Now, Eli knows something's happening. He knows that the Lord is speaking to Samuel. He wants to know, what is the word of the Lord? Because Eli wasn't hearing from the Lord in those days. In verse 3, the first verse that is rendered in the New American Standard, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. That was because of Samuel's unfaithfulness. But Samuel here, we're told, is faithful to share with the one that had raised him from a lad. Sometimes, guys, we have to be faithful to deliver the difficult message, whether it's to our children or to those around us or in our workplace or in the body of Christ, whatever it happens to be, we have to be faithful. Now, the scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That sounds like there's grading going on. and it can be so, but we need to be faithful. Paul could say he was faithful. He wrote in Acts, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Be willing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When we do that, God is glorified. And Eli's response was amazing. Even though he was walking in disobedience to the Lord, it was the right one. Let the Lord do what he's going to do. I love that. You and I need to submit ourselves to God's word and direction, regardless of our understanding, because it's there that we'll find rest. Do you lack rest this morning? Sometimes I lack rest. I confess it. But it's at those times that I'm reminded I need to get my focus back on the Lord. I need to hear from him. In verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be the prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. You see in those verses the result, the fruit of Samuel's faithfulness. And that same fruit can be born in your life and mine this morning, if we will simply be faithful to our Heavenly Father. It says first, he grew. Now, that's not only physically. He certainly did that. But he grew spiritually as well. He grew to become the man that God needed him to be to guide a nation. And God will do that in your life and mine. Where you are today as a believer in Jesus Christ should not be where you were yesterday or the day before or last year. We should be moving forward in our Christian faith. We should be maturing. We should be becoming more fruitful because we're growing in him. Not only was he growing, it says what? An amazing statement. I love it. The Lord was with him. Do you have a sense of the Lord's presence daily? I'm so thankful for a man that mentored me years ago. He's now with the Lord. He married my wife and I. And one of the things he said that always stuck with me, he says, Mark, practice the presence of Jesus. Practice the presence of Jesus, that you're aware of his presence all the time. It is so important. It's comforting. It's encouraging. It creates accountability. So when I'm making decisions about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to watch, if I'm practicing the presence of Jesus, it's going to have a control on my conduct. That's what we want to see in our lives, you see. When we're going through the difficult times, the Lord will be with us. I love the verse in Psalm 23. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He'll never leave you or me. He'll never forsake us, because God is faithful. If you're feeling alone, just know that that's a lie. You're never alone. He's always there. He's everywhere. We heard it. Psalm 139 tells us, Lord, where can I go from your presence? There is no place we can go from his presence. He's there. The question is, are we connected to him wherever we find ourselves? Third, we see that Samuel spoke God's truth. You know, that's a natural fruit of what happens in our lives when God is active and the Spirit's doing his thing. It just kind of pops out, you know, but God's word just kind of pops out. And it doesn't necessarily have to even be a scripture per se. It can be a principle, as we speak a principle of God's word. But that's what happens. And finally, it says he was established in ministry because all Israel recognized God's anointing on Samuel. You know, if you're walking with Jesus day by day, if you're loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, let me tell you, people are going to notice. They may not know what it is, but they'll notice a difference. And they'll at some point be compelled to ask, what is it with you? What's up? And then we have an opportunity to say, hey, it's not me, it's him, it's Jesus. And we can share what the Lord's doing in our lives. And this chapter ends at that place where the tabernacle rested, a place called Shiloh. Shiloh. Shiloh means rest. And I love that picture. We find rest in Shiloh. We find rest, if you will, in Jesus. We find rest in him. Spend time with him today. The Lord revealed himself, he says at the close of this chapter, to Samuel through his word. Be a lover of his word. I challenge you to read the Bible through once a year. It's not a hard task. 3 chapters a day and 5 on the weekends, and you're through it. It's so important because it gives us a whole panorama of God's plan. From Genesis to Revelation. And it's an amazing plan. It's a great plan. Jeremiah says, you know, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, plans for good and not for evil, or peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's God's plan for you today. A future and a hope. How many of us want to have a future and a hope? We all do. We all do. And the key is, draw close to Jesus, and he will meet us at that place. He'll meet us at Shiloh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful principles and truths that we find here, Lord. Lord, our heart's desire this morning is to hear from you, to be touched by you. Lord, you're doing a work in all of our hearts today at different points, different issues, but you're doing a work in each of us because we're all your creation. I pray, Father, that we would respond to you, Lord, even as Samuel did. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Do what you want to do. And I pray, Lord, that if there be anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, Lord, that they would respond to your call, because I know you're calling. that they would say yes to Jesus, that they would invite him to come into their lives. I pray, Father, for us who know you and have walked with you for some time, that we would be cautious, Lord, that not be like Eli, drifting away over time as we grow older in our faith, but not necessarily grow up in our faith, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to do an assessment in our own lives, Lord, to do business with you. Might we draw close, Father? Might you draw us close? And might we experience a fresh touch, a fresh anointing of your Spirit, that we might press on in this journey, that we might not just have the pedigree, Lord, but that we would have the passion. Glorify yourself, Lord, today in your church. I pray the Lord would draw you close, that he would encourage your heart, that he would speak to you in a very special way, and that as he does, you would respond, "Here I am, Lord. Do what you need to do." And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.